We have such a wonderful family of independent bookstores to supply our book picks for this week. And for the weeks, we welcome the Bennington Bookshop back to the fold. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, owner Phil Lewis joins us this morning with a terrific list of books to share. Phil, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. So where would you like to begin, sir?
Well, firstly, I'd like to wish all the listeners a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I've got lots of sneak previews of books coming out in the next 2 or 3 months this time, but the first one is an oldie that recently made it back onto the bestsellers list. It's The Soul of an Octopus by Cy Montgomery. I have a distinct childhood memory of the first time I encountered grasshoppers. I know this sounds like I'm getting off topic, but
no.
I was 4 and a half and lying in a grassy field. The grass stems were alive with these strange creatures, rubbing their legs together so that the air was filled with a glorious buzz. I was filled with a sense of wonder. What were these fabulous insects singing the summer away? 20 years later, I felt the same sense of awe when I visited Australia for the first time. With its koalas, echidnas and platypus, Australia is a place of wonder. Everything was so new and different. It was like being a child all over again, discovering the world for the very first time. The Soul of an Octopus is about wonder. It's been out for a while, tempting from the shelves, and recently made it back onto the bestsellers list. The book is full of curious facts about octopuses, not octopi, as the author points out on the very first page. Did you know octopuses have 3 hearts? That they can regenerate limbs if they lose them to a predator? That they are masters of disguise, changing not only the color of their skin to hide, but its texture too, and the shape of their bodies. This book had me going to the YouTube repeatedly to play videos of octopuses shape-shifting to become a piece of coral, or a rock, or a clump of seaweed. It's fascinating. Montgomery details her interactions with 4 octopuses through her time spent at the aquarium in Boston over a period of several years. The book is at times funny, at others sad. But overall, it's a heartwarming read about the connection that can form between different creatures. It's about intelligence and personality and love and loss and life. Just a footnote, The Soul of an Octopus was a finalist for the 2015 National Book Award for Nonfiction. Her latest book, Tamed and Untamed, recently came out in paperback.
Cy Montgomery is The Soul of an Octopus. Next.
Next up is Verena by Charles Frazier, which will be released in April this year. I read Charles Frazier's earlier book, Cold Mountain, when I first moved to the mountains of North Carolina 10 years ago. It provided a great introduction to the history and culture of my new home. Frazier's latest book, Verena, to be released in April, returns once again to that time period. The book, a fictional retelling of parts of Verena Jefferson's life, powerfully evokes the chaos and destruction in the aftermath of the Civil War. 17-year-old Verena, the book's namesake, marries the much older widower, Jefferson Davis, expecting to live out her life on a Mississippi plantation. Instead, her husband takes up politics, eventually becoming president of the Confederacy. As the Confederacy falls, Verena, her children, and a small band of helpers flee Richmond and head for Florida, with a plan to take a boat to Cuba and then on to Europe. With bounties on their heads and the widespread belief that they are running off with the last of the Confederacy's gold, the fugitives are chased across the country by motley groups of Union soldiers and bounty hunters. Central to the story is the relationship between Verena and James, a homeless boy of uncertain background whom Verena adopts on impulse after feeling guilty about abandoning a slave who was being sold away from her family. She raises James as one of her own, prompting many raised eyebrows amongst her friends and acquaintances, and he is part of the group that flees Richmond with her at the end of the war. The book begins with an elderly Verena coming down to the lobby of the Saratoga Springs Hotel where she lives to meet James, whom she last saw decades ago. Over the next few weeks, James visits Verena each Sunday, and Verena relates her experiences of their flight. Through the telling Fraser explores key questions about guilt and complicity and consequences, and examines the nature of ownership and property. This is a very powerful read.
Charles Fraser's Verena, upcoming on April of 2018. Okay, next.
Okay, next up is a review by Linda of Amy Bloom's book, White Houses, which comes out in March this year. Amy Bloom's the author of two New York Times bestsellers and three collections of short stories. She's been a nominee for both the National Book Award and the National Book Critics Circle Award. White Houses is a fictionalized telling of the love story between Lorena Hickok and Eleanor Roosevelt. Hickok is a seasoned reporter who meets Eleanor Roosevelt in 1932 while reporting on Franklin Roosevelt's first presidential campaign. The women's connection initially develops into an intimate, passionate relationship that later evolves into a complicated, lasting love. The story is told from Hickok's perspective. She has an unforgettable voice and shines a new light on historic events. Bloom has done a masterful job conveying the strong bond between these women and their unique roles in shaping the events of that time period. But more than anything, she's told a truly powerful love story.
Excellent. The name of the book is White Houses by Amy Bloom. All right.
Okay, next up is Only Killers and Thieves by Paul Howarth. Paul Howarth is a British-Australian writer. Only Killers and Thieves is his first novel. The book skillfully evokes the harshness and brutality of the Australian outback, the grim setting for this story of race, injustice, and honour. I'm just going to read a bit from the cover. It's 1885, and a crippling drought threatens to ruin the McBride family. Their land is parched, their cattle starving. When the rain finally comes, it's a miracle that renews their hope for survival. But returning home from an afternoon swimming in a remote waterhole filled by the downpour, 14-year-old Tommy and 16-year-old Billy meet with a shocking tragedy. Thirsting for vengeance against the man they believed has wronged them, the distraught brothers turn to the ruthless and cunning John Sullivan, the wealthiest landowner in the region and their father's former employer. Sullivan gathers a posse led by the dangerous and fascinating Inspector Edmund Noon and his Queensland Native Police, an infamous arm of British colonial power charged with the dispersal of Indigenous Australians to protect white settler rights. As they ride across the barren outback in pursuit, their harsh and horrifying journey will have a devastating impact on Tommy, tormenting him for the rest of his life, and will hold enduring consequences for a young country struggling to come into its own. This was a great read. It'll be released next month.
Only Killers and Thieves by Paul Howarth. All right.
Okay, next up, The Italian Teacher by Tom Ruckman. Pinch has grown up in the shadow of his father, the internationally renowned artist Bear. When Bear abandons his family, Pinch attempts to gain his father's attention by trying to be a painter himself. When that doesn't work, Pinch sets out to write his father's biography. But the task is too much for him, and sadder, if not wiser, he finally settles into a job as an Italian teacher in London. Then Bear dies, and Pinch conceives a scheme to make his own mark on the world. This was a rich and satisfying read. Tom Rackman's earlier novel, The Imperfectionists, which came out in 2010, was an international bestseller and has been translated into 25 languages. He was born in London, but raised in Vancouver, and now lives in London.
It is The Italian Teacher by Tom Ruckman.
Ruckman, right? I think, yep.
Sure, and coming out in March. Then coming up, another very popular Vermont author.
Right, The Flight Attendant, Chris Spojalian. I'm not sure how to classify this next book. Is it a thriller or a mystery? Suspense, even. It's Chris Spojalian, so regardless, it starts with a bang. Cassie Bowden, the flight attendant of the title, wakes from a night of booze and sex to find the man with whom she parted the previous night is in the bed beside her. He's dead, his throat cut. The last thing Cassie remembers is sharing a shower with a man. Everything else is a blank. Cassie panics and runs from the hotel. She has a reputation for fast living and faster loving, and her flight attendant colleagues would have seen her flirting with the man on the flight into Dubai the day before. To cover her tracks, she spins a web of lies about her whereabouts the previous evening, but she quickly realizes that she, too, could be a target of the man's assassin. And so the scene is set for a fast-paced novel of international crime, the temptations of alcohol, and the vagaries of memory. This is another great read from Vermont writer Chris Bojalian.
The Flight Attendant by Chris Bojalian. And then finally.
Okay, A Midsummer's Equation by Keigo Higashino. A man is found dead on a rocky shore just outside the once thriving resort town of Hari Cove. The police first rule the death an accident, but then discover the man has traces of sleeping pills in his bloodstream, and the real cause of death is carbon monoxide poisoning. Was his death an accident or murder? Regardless, how did the body end up on the beach? And how is it connected to a murder in Tokyo 16 years ago, for which a man has already done time? These are the questions that face police consultant Manabu Yukawa in town for a forum on a planned underwater mining operation that is dividing the local community. A Midsummer's Equation is this month's pick for our Whodunit book club. We're meeting tomorrow to discuss the book, and I'm interested to hear what the rest of the group thought. We read another of Higashino's novels, Malice, last year, and we all enjoyed it. This book was totally different from the previous one. It's deftly plotted, with no red headings, just a gentle unravelling of the twisted knot of the history and circumstance that is life. It's very well done.
A Midsummer's Equation. And anything else?
Yeah, Linda and I are both reading a couple of books now. I thought I'd mention, I can't really review them. Linda's reading The Glass Forest by Cynthia Swanson, which will be published next month. It's a gripping suspense novel about a deeply troubled family and the three women who will shed light on its dark truth. Linda says she's really enjoying the book.
Excellent.
And I'm reading The Night Women by Sarah Bladel. Sarah Bladel is a Danish writer living in New York, and this is just a really tightly plotted crime novel and very difficult to put down, except I got distracted at breakfast this morning. I picked up The Silk Roads by Peter Frankopan. I've only read the first 15 pages, but I'm already really engrossed, so I hope to report on those books next time.
Excellent. We look forward to it. You can find out more information about Phil's list by going to BenningtonBookshop.com or go to our website, WAMC.org. WAMC.org or BenningtonBookshop.com. Better yet, go visit them in the beautiful city of Bennington, Vermont, the Bennington Bookshop. Phil Lewis, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much, Doug.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.